This podcast is sponsored by both Lucy Pet and Equus Grooming Products. All right. Well, welcome to another episode of Doc Halligan Unleashed with Joey Villani, sponsored by Equus and Lucy Pet. We have a very special guest on tonight, Dallas Van Kempen, who is one of our sponsors. And Joey always told me that your products are the Rolls Royce in the grooming industry. And just from the amount of time I've spent talking with you, it feels like you take a lot of pride in your materials and product that you put out.
You know, it's funny that you said, you know, we're the Rolls Royce of animal grooming products, because we are actually human formulas. They're all, you know, human formulas that were in use for years originally by women on themselves and by professional stylists. And we just took those formulas, we licensed them from my dad's friend's company, brought them to Pet and Equine. That was his idea. And when he told me that at the time, I thought he was nuts. I mean, you know, I said, Dad, this is, you know, you've had some great ideas. I don't know that this is one of them. We're in construction. What do we know about shampoo? You know, you're bald and I'm going bald at 18. You know, is this really a good idea? And he said, no, trust me. There has to be a better way. If you look at the ingredients and just the overall formula composition of what's out there for horses, which was his passion, or for the family pet, which was my passion, to him, if you love an animal like that, and you know, it certainly has happened over the last 30 years, the humanization of the family pet, it really is a member of your family. And the joy, the happiness, the quality of life that they bring, he felt that they deserve to be treated like a member of the family. And in his mind, if he wouldn't use this type of product, and I won't name the company that, you know, he was looking at, the product we had under the sink that we bathe her in, you wouldn't use it on yourself. So why would you use it on a member of your family? He wouldn't use it on me or my sister. Why would he use it on his youngest child, which was our family dog? So he got the idea because he had a lot of friends. He knew a lot of people, a lot of walks of life. The racetrack, you meet some interesting people. And started a conversation with the owners of this human hair care company. They became great friends. He brought the idea to them, said, you know, what's in this type of product? And one of them was a PhD chemist, formulated all of their formulas for their company. He said, Don, you don't want to know what's in this stuff. If you knew what was in it, you wouldn't use it. You would never buy it. And you sure as heck wouldn't use it on yourself. So right then the light bulb went off. He said, okay, there has to be a better way. And the better way is what people use on themselves. Treat your family member like a member of your family. Use a product that you'd use on yourself. So we licensed their formulas and brought them to the pet and equine market.
Well, you know, dog food way back when, you could formulate shoe leather and it would pass, be okay to put it in dog food.
Yeah.
And so I can just imagine what was in shampoo. I mean, well, it must have been awful.
At the time, and even now, I mean, quality has gotten a lot better with the humanization of the pet. But the regulation, the requirements for labeling and what's in an animal topical grooming product, it's almost non-existent. You don't have to fully disclose the ingredients. You don't even have to be honest about what's in the ingredients. You can leave ingredients off or you can make up names. And that's something that I've seen over the last 10 or 12 years as natural has become the hottest thing in grooming products for pets and for horses. Some competitors will make up names that sound natural, and they're not natural. They're synthetic, they're industrial grade ingredients, and we just don't do that. We were born out of love for a family member, and that's something that we do still to this day.
Doc, I have a question for you. Do you see many cases of pets that come into your practice that have skin conditions due to grooming products, whether they're being used at home or whether they're inferior in the grooming salon? Do you treat a lot of skin conditions?
We treat a lot of skin conditions. It's unfortunate because I think the consumers get taken advantage of with the advertising, right? Right, Dallas?
Absolutely.
Like you said, yeah, it's like, you know, because how does a consumer know what's really behind that product? They don't. And so if there's no regulation, they buy products that don't work. They buy products to help calm the itching and it doesn't work. They buy products for flea and tick and it doesn't work. But I know that Equus works.
What most people don't know is that there's levels of ingredients, and unfortunately the animals get the leftovers in terms of quality for skin and coat care products. They get the level of ingredients that you certainly wouldn't use on yourself, nor you know, if it was marketed as a human product, would the FDA allow you to sell it as a human product, because they're just not safe or they're problematic for whatever reason. But also the labeling standards for a human product are adequate. You know, we have consumer protection agencies that protect people. They don't protect pets as much. And that's why people are competitors. They kind of play dirty. They get creative with the naming of the ingredients, or they just leave stuff off altogether. And it's deceptive. And that is the opposite of what we started out wanting and doing, and it's the opposite of what we do now. It's just unethical. And in any business, you know, there are ethical and unethical players. And unfortunately, because of the lack of oversight and regulation for animal products, there's a lot more in food than there are grooming products. Grooming products is small potatoes compared to food in the animal world. You know, you really have to do something egregious to get a regulatory action against yourself.
And there are products, Joey, in the grocery store that will kill a cat.
Oh, I you know, it's so funny. It's so funny.
They don't put that in the marketing.
I had a woman that had four pugs that she used to bring to our school. And she would come for a pug often, every 6 to 8 weeks. And for a short-haired dog, that's often. But she was like clockwork. And one day she only came in with one. And she was bawling. And I'm not going to say the product, but she used the product on the dogs. And three out of the four, well, actually all four had reactions. Three of them died. Okay. Went into into convulsions. And they died within hours of, and this is stuff that you can buy in your, you know, regular, in your grocery store and all, which is sad. But you know, I got to tell you, when you bring your pets to a professional, you should be able to ask them what they use, and they should be able to give, they should know what's behind the product because they're using it. But just in case they don't, if I was to call you, Dallas, or call Equus, could I have a conversation with someone and say, okay, why is your product more safe? Why is it that much better than anything else? Would somebody be able to do that if they picked up and called the 800 number?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, if one of our customer service people didn't have the answer right away, they would kick it to me. They would give the question to me, or they would tell a customer, I'm going to have to get the answer for you and get back to you. We have a production facility in San Diego. We have a chemist on staff, and we make everything ourselves. So if somebody has a technical question or ingredient question, if I don't know the answer, and I certainly don't know everything, I've been doing this for 30 years and I know, you know, quite a good deal about it, but I'm not a chemist, you know, in terms of possible reaction or what are the effects of this type of thing? Does this type of product, oh, hello, kitty. What does this ingredient do? You know, I know most of that because it's our formula and I've studied it, we've tested it. But, you know, if I didn't know it, I would ask our chemist and I would get the answer. It really, you know, for me, I think the biggest problem with toxicity or reactions, reactivity with grooming products, it comes down to the formulation. But above that, the quality of the ingredients. You don't put industrial grade ingredients on yourself. You wouldn't put industrial grade oil, industrial grade silicone on your skin to moisturize it. I mean, it's something that you would never entertain. Yet that's the type of thing that's in the run of the mill bargain basement grooming product. And they're not going to tell you that. They're not going to tell you that they bought the cheapest ingredient available to make this product to care for the animal that you love so much. They just want to sell it to you. And that's just not okay with us.
Doc, you know what's funny is when I do my evaluations, because I do salon evaluations, mm-hmm. and where a salon will bring me in, and it's like the Gordon Ramsay type thing, only I'm not nasty. We go over the good and the bad. When I work in the bathing room, the first thing I look at is I look at the bather's arms. And if their arms are all chapped and broken out.
Wow.
And I ask, and I already know, but I ask anyway, you know, and they say it's from the shampoo. And my age-old theory is if it irritates me, it irritates them. Because think about it, our hands are
absolutely
in detergent. It's in chemicals really all day long. Your pet doesn't see that. So if it's irritating me, it's irritating the pet. And that's the first telltale right there. You know, should I switch products? You would be surprised at how many people actually, and these are professional salons. That's why I say ask questions. And other groomers get mad at me sometimes, but the ones that are doing the right thing shouldn't. Using dish soap on the pets. And dish soap is toxic, okay? There was a great book Sandy Lemire wrote, and I can't think of the name of the book. And she actually breaks down because people see that commercial where they're washing these pets in an oil spill. Well, if your pet's in an oil spill, that's extreme measures. That doesn't mean that this is what you should be bathing your pet in. And you'd be surprised at how many people out there actually think that that's safe because of a commercial that's, I'm not going to say it's misleading because for what it had to do what it did in an oil spill. They're not telling you to wash the pets, but mentally you're seeing it and saying, okay, well, I could just take this right here, pour it on my pet, and then have reaction, whether it be a nerve reaction or skin reaction or chemical burn. It's bad.
I have that conversation almost daily on social media with people, and it's very frustrating. I get it. It's readily available. You have it in your house, and you have it. It's under the sink, and you can use it whenever you need to give your dog a bath. But you'd be surprised, especially, well, you probably know this, Joe, because you deal with it all the time, too, but it's the go-to product for a lot of people that are even heavily involved in the pet world. Breeders, show people, even some groomers, their go-to product is a brand of dish soap that I won't name, but dish soap was not made to be put on a living creature. It was made to cut grease and get plates and dishes and pots and pans clean. And, you know, does it do that? Yeah, it does. Absolutely. It'll clean anything. It'll degrease and it'll get your dog's coat squeaky clean, but it wasn't made to be ingested when they clean themselves, when they lick themselves, your cat licks itself. It's using industrial grade degreasers and cleaners that you wouldn't wash your hands in, let alone your whole body, your face, your eye area, your mouth.
My private area.
I got into it on Facebook with somebody the other day, and she I tried to tell her very gently. I try not to argue with people, but it's just so hard. They have to argue with you. I just don't agree that that's an ethical decision. And she started getting very indignant, saying, well, I know the top dog handlers in the world and they all use Dawn. And I didn't take the bait. I just said, okay, you have an opinion. I tried. I gave you some factual information. I gave you some science on it and some ethical considerations, and I'm not going to change your mind. So that's fine. So I said, okay, and I tried to walk away, and she just kept coming at me with this, Dawn, it works for everybody. It's worked for 50 years. And thank goodness other people started chiming in and saying, I have a hard time believing that the top dog handlers in the world all use Dawn every time they bathe their dog. And, they're right. It's in an extreme situation, like you said, you've got a problem and you need to do it, and you need to do it fast. Sure, it'll work, but not something you want to do on a regular basis.
In olden days, and I'm going back 70s, maybe early 80s, that was true that they were using. I'm not saying it was safe. And that's because they would put their dog's coat in oil. When you put a dog's coat in oil to protect it from breaking, before you go to the show, you got to get the oil out. So the only thing to get the oil out is a degreaser that's going to get it out real, pull it out. But what it's then going to do, it's going to damage that coat. So that coat is going to look great for a day. And then it's going to get extremely damaged. It's you're going to have irritated skin. And the process happens all happened all over again. They oil a lanolin the pet, protect the coat, and then have to pull it out. So at one point in time, yeah, most breeders were doing it. But that was before, I mean, maybe we had a handful of real pet shampoos on the market at that time. Now, there's great stuff out there. You know,
we know better now.
Exactly. We know better now. It's like anything else, you know. I know I shouldn't eat Twinkies, but, you know.
Joey, what? You're eating Twinkies?
I just threw that in there. Because I seen Twinkies in the store today, and I almost was going to buy them. And I was like, okay, what am I doing?
Well, and I wanted to share with Dallas, too. Dallas, tell us about your dad who wanted to get in with the veterinary industry. Because let me just tell you that I worked at a skin clinic when I first got out, when I first came up to L.A. And, you know, when you go through vet school, you only go through 4 years. And I don't know how many classes you have with for dermatology. Not that many. So that's part of the problem is we're not really educated very much when we graduate. Now, you can go on and get boarded in dermatology, sure, but you really don't know a lot when you come out. And so you're really, you see these, what do I want to say, distributors that are just trying to sell you all these products and you have no idea what works, what doesn't work. What did you share about your dad? Wasn't your dad trying to tap into the veterinary community to help give them good products?
Well, one of our formulas is called Microtech, and it's for skin conditions. And we have a shampoo and a topical spray that you can, you know, treat after the bath on an ongoing basis. It's completely safe to use, you know, as many times as you want to all the time. And originally it was used as a human product, as a face wash or an acne wash. And it does many, many other things we found out over the years. But when we first developed and released this product for horses and for pets, we were so excited. He was so excited because it literally works on any kind of skin condition. And he thought he had a home run with veterinarians because this product is so versatile and it would, you know, save so much pain and anguish and time in treating. You know, we personally have had dogs where you just go from one thing to the next, from pills to shots to topicals to ointments and, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And so he was so excited. He thought every vet in the world is going to want to buy this product because it works on everything. And the owners will love it because they don't have to give their dog a prednisone shot or prednisone pills. And, you know, he kind of had a rude awakening. And, you know, I love veterinarians. They've saved some of my dog's lives. I respect you know, their knowledge, they're true professionals, they're medical professionals, but we found out that they just frankly didn't know that much about dermatology unless they were a dermatologist specialist. And they would much rather, you know, from a business standpoint, they would much rather sell you a $50 or $80 shot than a $10 bottle of shampoo. Mm-hmm. If it's going to, you know, the same thing will take care of the problem. They make more money selling you the shot. Some of them are, you know, like I said, there are unethical people in every field. And, mm-hmm, you know, most people believe that all vets are altruistic and want to do the best thing for the animal and for the patient, the family that brings it in. But that's just frankly not true. You know, nor do they, maybe they take it as seriously as they need to because it's just a topical skin condition, right? It's not internal medicine. It's maybe not going to kill them, right? But right. You know, so they just go, I have these pills here, have these pills. I have this shot, take this shot, instead of just treating it topically, non-invasively, and not putting on a bunch of steroids. So he was very disappointed very quickly that most vets would say, oh, I don't want that. The shot works just as well, and I've been doing that for 30 years.
Yeah, you know, well, go ahead, Karen.
Microtech was my introduction to your product. Mm-hmm. It blew me away. I'm not going to get into the story because it's a long story and we don't have much time, but I have my own personal testimony. You can actually, I talk about it on social media. But it really is one of those products that you're like, wow, okay, where has this been my whole life? And we actually took that product and marketed it, as a special, as it was an upgrade, which, You know, when I think back of it, when I look at it now, it shouldn't be an upgrade. It should just be standard because it's that good and it just benefits the pet. But back in that, at that time, it was like, we thought we found, like, you know, you found a goose that laid the golden egg almost. It was amazing. And it really is an amazing product.
I think vets, you know, you deal with very serious problems, you know, much more serious than a skin infection or irritation or condition. You're trying to save animals' lives a lot. So, you know, you focus on that type of thing. But skin conditions can be very painful. They can be very long lasting, and they can really detract from the quality of life of an animal if they're, you know, chronic and they last long enough. And it also can be painful for the family member that has to watch this dog suffer, dog or cat or horse suffer from whatever condition it is. You know, we just want to help animals. At the end of the day, really, it's where we come from. We just love animals, and we want to help them have the best life that they can, and help the owners have enjoy the life with their pets without having to give them things that they don't feel good about. I've had to give dogs. I had a border collie that ended up being an autoimmune disease. But, first we thought it was a food allergy or a contact allergy to grass or pollen. We used Microtech on her, and it helped a lot. It soothed a lot of the symptoms, but it never really got away with it did away with it. And it ended up being an autoimmune disease. It took us 10 years to find that out.
Wow. They didn't do a skin biopsy of her to see?
The regular vet didn't. We ended up having to go to a dermatologist specialist clinic in San Diego to do all that. And it costs thousands and thousands of dollars, all the testing and treatments that we gave her before we found this out.
I mean, I think because I worked at a skin clinic, you know, when I came up here, it really helped, because I just do skin biopsies now. If I try things and it's not working, it's so easy. You give them a little lidocaine to numb the area. You don't even have to sedate them. Take a little tiny punch biopsy and punch out some skin, stitch it right up, and voila.
In hindsight, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, that's the fastest way to the answer, right? I don't know what we were doing or these doctors were doing, but it took us 10 years to really figure it out. And by that time, most of her lifespan was already over.
No, Doc, hold on. I'm going to ask you. This intrigues me. Should we be asking our vets to do that automatically? Should we just say, you know, I want a skin biopsy?
Nothing wrong with that. Absolutely. Nothing wrong with that.
And we'll get the correct answer then. Correct,
of course. Right? Of course. Yes. You're going to get the answer in 3 to 5 days. And you know what's really cool, you guys? I've been like the hero on some really weird cases, like a vitamin A deficiency or autoimmune, because I'm smart enough to do that simple test to determine, you know, what it is. Because there are, my dermatology book's that thick. There are so many weird diseases that animals get. I mean, some very strong, like copper deficiency, blah, blah, blah. And you cannot look at a dog, you guys, or cat 100% and say, you know, I can get a guess and go, it's maybe Demodex, maybe ringworm, maybe this. But, you know, without that biopsy, I won't know 100%. And it's non-invasive for the pet. Most of the time, you don't even have to sedate the pets unless they're crazy. Then you give them a little extra. But, you know, you do a local block. So, yes, pet owners. That's one of the reasons Joey and I, Dallas, wanted to do the podcast, was to help empower pet owners, because there is, I will have to say, a spectrum of veterinarians, some that are really, really good and some that maybe aren't so good and maybe aren't, you know, helping you help your pet. So that's one of the reasons we wanted to do the podcast. And then, you know, luckily we had you come on as our first sponsor. It was exciting. And now we're growing season two. Yeah. And now look at we're filming it now. So
I learned something now, because I would tell my clients what you said. If they have groomers see every day. Every day we have pets that come in and have skin problems, and we hear the same story when trying to cure this for 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, never knew that you can just say, ask your veterinarian for a skin biopsy.
Yeah, that's it.
Dr. Halligan told us on our podcast that that is the sure telltale.
So, and, Doc, can I ask you a question about that?
Absolutely.
Okay, so what if, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you're the expert, not me. I see, because of my field of work, that most of the problems that I hear about, people come to us with a question, you know, oh, I got this going on, you know, what can I do to help? More often than not, the people that I talk to, it's a contact allergy or a food allergy. You know, I guess sometimes it could be a vitamin deficiency or some other kind of internal condition. But if you ask your vet for a biopsy and it's an allergy to a grass, which is very common, or pollen, or a food allergy, how do you get that answer? Because that wouldn't show in the skin biopsy, right?
No, it will show in the skin biopsy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because of the type of histamine release and inflammation in the skin, it would come back as atopy or inhalant allergy or possible food allergy. Yeah. So it will diagnose that, absolutely.
So I just learned something too. Thank you for that. See, we're helping people.
Yeah, no, we are. And you know, I wouldn't do it like the first time I see a dog that's itching and has problems, I would first treat with Cytopoint or a great shampoo or something and see how the dog responds. After one or two treatments, if I'm not getting a response that I would, you know, expect to be getting, that's when I could suggest, well, let's do a skin biopsy just to see if maybe it's autoimmune or something weird. It's a really useful tool. And that's the first thing the dermatologists do. They get sent all these cases that the vets can't figure out, and that's what they do. So that's something that pet owners can ask if the vets can't figure it out. And it's not shameful. It's a diagnostic tool that we, you know, that we use. We do skin scrapings, right, to see if it's mites. We do fungal cultures to see what that is. But yeah, I mean, it's skin can be very challenging because it doesn't present the same. A skin allergy on one dog is going to look different on another dog. We even have the ability to do allergy testing now. We've been doing a lot of that because it seems like we're having dogs have more allergies now. And I don't know if that's just more inbreeding or climate change or what.
That's interesting. I always thought you had to specifically test for certain types of allergies. You know, like a human, you do the panel, the poke test on the, you know, the back or the side or whatever. I didn't know that you could determine that or narrow it down greatly just by doing a biopsy. That's a great solution.
Yeah. Well, it'll, like, for instance, if you have a dog that's itchy and it comes back as hypersensitivity, most likely atopy, then we can do a blood test to determine what it's allergic to. Then we can make up the antigens and they can be giving that dog antigens orally to desensitize it to whatever they're allergic to. That's how far the medicine has come today.
Hmm.
Yeah, just like with people. Yeah.
So cure the inside and then use the great products.
The great products
to then you have a supermodel, more or less.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's the truth. You know, dogs generally have great skin and color. It's like puppies. Puppy color, puppy skin, everything, it's great. And then we mess with it. We use inferior products. We feed them inferior food. And we wonder why they're scratching, they're itching, and they got the hives and they got hot spots. And we're saying, oh, you know, I mean, start out young, feed them right, use good products.
Yes.
And now if I get a skin condition, I go to the vet and say, biopsy it.
Well, and I, you know, Joey had me lecture Dallas at one of the grooming conferences, and gosh, the groomers are great students because they want to learn. And, you know, early on, veterinarians look down on groomers. And I never did. I think because I worked at a skin practice, and listen, they have a very hard job and they see dog, right? And they see the dog every 6 weeks. I see it once a year. So I developed great relationships and I have respect for groomers. So I loved lecturing and teaching them basic CPR, things like that, just because I think it, you've got to work, you've got the groomers, the vets, and the trainers. And that, you know, it's got those three people that you need to work with, and you can't always do it all.
So Joey, how many dogs do you think a groomer, the average groomer, sees every day? 5, 6 on an average day?
You're talking about the salon or one groomer?
One groomer per groomer in a salon.
Okay, I'm going to say 6 to 8. Anything more than 8, a lot of groomers are saying they're doing, but then I'm going to challenge the quality of the grooming at that point.
And they're
point.
Getting help. If they're doing 8 dogs a day and somebody else is bathing them and they're doing the...
Even still, it's, you know, listen, I was never a fast groomer, but I could still do 6 dogs today, you know, and I'm kind of out of it a little bit, even though I try to stay in it. But 6 to 8, let's just say a day. It's comfortable.
So do the math on that. You know, 6 to 8, 5 or 6 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and they're not dealing with what the vets are dealing with. You know, they swallowed a paperclip, or they got stung by a bee, or they just, you know, were non-responsive, or hit by a car, or whatever. Most of what you're going to see is, you know, if they come in with a problem, it's going to be a skin condition, right? So, you know, you're seeing a lot of dogs a month. And, you know, you're elbow deep in it. You're right there. It is a very difficult job. And they probably, I mean, vets see that many dogs or more a day, but you're seeing a much broader range of problems. You know, for a groomer, they're seeing a high volume of dogs, and most of the problems are skin conditions caused by an outside source or a food allergy or deficiency.
Absolutely. Like I said earlier, I mean, we're seeing skin problems every single day. And like the doc said, we're seeing it often. The vets are seeing it once, twice a year. And if that person is not going, and listen, I don't want to sound like, you know, some vets just don't know what they're doing, because it's not true. That might not be their expertise in that area, you know? So It's this conversation was really good for me. This whole conversation tonight, because I learned a lot, because we see a lot, and the only thing that we can do is direct. But if we can give a little advice when we're directing, say, okay, you know, it just helps everyone along. I mean, I could tell you, you know, what products to use, what's good for, you know, but when it's internal, roll the dice.
Yeah.
Not a lot you can do about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are so many factors. I'm sorry.
Yes. No, I mean, nowadays, you brought that term up, humanization. Why do you guys think pets went from the backyard to the bed?
Because we got lonely. No.
The humanization. Why do you think
that? Divorce is on the rise. So.
I got the answer to that because I seen a whole New York, and I wish I would have kept this article. It was the New York Times a long time ago. And they did the American family from the 1960s all the way to 2000 at the time. And they showed the progression of children. So the baby boomers, okay? You went through that where dad was the breadwinner. Mom stayed home, took care of the house, the kids. And then mom ventured out to start working. But when that kind of happened, the American family shrunk. Less children, more pets. Pets, so people thought, were easier to deal with. So it kind of took on that role where a pet went from a pet to a member of the family. And sometimes the pet is even more cherished than the children. I've had a pet
see that at shows all the time.
This is my baby, you know, my kids. I can, you know, do away with them. And it was funny because this woman actually told me that. But that's what happened. It's funny because when I was growing up, and we always had pets, and if you look at how we had pets back in 1975, when I was 10 years old, I can remember the dog wasn't allowed around the kitchen table. The dog wasn't, God forbid, in the bed. The dog spent a lot of time outside. It was almost like, if it was today, it's borderline almost abuse in a lot of people's. But back then, we were still big pet lovers. And I look at it and say how it's changed to where when I was still married and we had the 4 Karens, I'd get in the bed, and Miles, if he didn't want you in the bed, he would be growling at you, looking at you, growling at you. It was like, all right, this is my bed. But, I mean, that's my take on it.
I think from a historical perspective, you know, at the turn of the 20th century, beginning of the 20th century, we had cities and we had the Industrial Revolution, but we were really a nation of farmers and, you know, an agrarian society where animals were livestock, they were tools, they were, you know, they were farm implements, or they were to be eaten. They weren't really pets like we have now from, you know, the dogs, cats, lizards, snakes, birds, tarantulas even, right? And as our economy and our society changed, I think, you know, a lot more of those pets came inside. They're no longer on the farm. They're no longer being raised for food. It's a companion, and it's a, you know, and it really is a part of the family now. I think that's a big part of it as well.
Yeah, I
agree. So Dallas, how do we find you? If people want to find a little bit more about you or Equus, where do we go?
Well, we're in stores across the country. We're in your local pet store, your local tack and feed store. We make pet and horse products. But also you can find us on the web, on social media, or on www.equus.com.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for caring like you do and making products that we can be proud to tell people to use. Because I think for Joey and I, that's important to us. You know, we want to be associated with people who care, because that's really, you know, that's what it's all about. So thank you so much for coming on. Yeah.
Thank you. And it's nice to be associated with other people that care as much as I do.
Yeah. And if you have questions for Dallas or about the Equus products, you can ask us questions. docandjoeyunleashed@gmail.com.
Oh, that's good.
docandjoeyunleashed@gmail.com. Ask us anything. There isn't anything we can't answer. And follow us. I'm at Doc Halligan on Instagram. And, you know, we're going to be posting a lot. This is our second season. We're very excited to help pet owners. So,
and the film element.
And yes, and then we're going to have our own YouTube channel. So not only can you listen to us, but you can watch us. So,
very entertaining.
Well, thank you for coming on, Dallas. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thanks, Joey. Thanks, Doc.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.